for today, God. I pray you use me this morning to speak to your people and to stir hearts and to grow us and to build us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Turn to somebody and give them a high five and tell them, you better get ready. Put your seatbelt on. Hallelujah. And you may be seated. I want you to take your Bibles real quickly with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And just want to read one verse. I'm going to read it in two different versions. It should be a very familiar portion of Scripture to you if you've been a believer for any amount of time. Hebrews chapter 11. How many of you love the Word of God? How many believe the Word of God? How many know that this Word never returns void, even if you're bored? Even if for some reason you've got something else on your mind, like there's something else going on in your mind, you got trouble at work tomorrow, or you got to go to court tomorrow, or your car broke down yesterday, or something's going on, or maybe you did something you shouldn't have, and you're troubled with it, and you don't know how to get out of it, or whatever it is. I want you to know this Word has every answer you ever looked for. This has every answer you ever need to know about. Stop Googling and start looking in here, amen? You don't got to Google. All you got to do is get in this Word, and this Word will give you the light that you need. It'll give you the answers you need. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11. In the New King James Version, it reads like this in verse 1. Now, everybody shout now. Come on, shout it like you mean now. All right. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice how the writer says now faith. It is, you know, you hear a lot of people quote the scripture and say faith is the substance of things hoped for. But I want you to begin to quote it like this and say now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I love the way Pastor Tom broke it down a few weeks ago when he said the word faith in the original language is not, it doesn't really do good service to the word. The original word used here as they broke it down, they translated it, was more than just, I hope something happens. It was, I expect something to happen. In other words, when I declare something in faith, or I pray for somebody that's sick, or I sow a seed, or I'm on a journey and I pray for traveling mercy, I expect to have traveling mercy. I'm not just saying the prayer because I'm hoping it might. I'm believing for traveling mercy. I'm believing for a healing. I'm believing for a return. I'm believing for my wife to have a most blessed birthday and most blessed year. I expect it. Now, I love the way the NLT, the New Living Translation, reads. It says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. You see how this one kind of brings it around a little bit? Let me read it again. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. I think there's a few people in this room know what evidence means. You remember when the judge came out and said, what evidence do you got? I want to ask a question this morning. Is there evidence on you that you're a believer? Is there evidence that you are a believer? If the devil tries to accuse you of something, will they find evidence? Come on, somebody. Hey, can we get this buzzing sound, whatever this buzzing sound is? I don't know what that is. Can we get that? Can we deal with that? It's really buzzing. Can you do that, guys? Thank you. Our main objective today, today's objective, the message that God has given me today has to do about your faith. Not just the faith. Not just faith in itself, but your faith. See, when I think about faith, I think about the ability to be able to see. Not just believe, but to see. See, a lot of times we believe, but we don't see. So that means we hope, but we don't expect. I don't know about you, man, but when I pray, I've always had this kind of childlike faith that when I pray for somebody, I expect them to get healed. It's not just something that I'm just praying for. Man, I'm kind of like, oh, just throwing a dart and hoping it'll hit the bullseye. I believe that when I throw the dart, it's going to hit right in the bullseye. I believe when I pray that it's going to happen. If we have a healing service and you come up here and we get some oil and we put some oil on you, we lay hands, we say, we're believing God that God will heal your liver, your heart, your back, your spine, whatever. We don't doubt one bit that God will heal you. Because we expect it, because the Bible says whatever we ask in His name, it shall be done. We believe it. We have no doubt in believing. We believe for your future, for your promises, for your miracle. It's in faith that we are able to see the furthest point of our need. Now, I want to ask a question real quick. Just, I want to get up a little closer, up close and personal. Not just right here. I mean, like way out here. Because sometimes you hear me from up there, and I think you're hearing me, but I don't know. Maybe I get a little closer. Maybe you could really hear. But think about it for a minute. What would happen? I just want to know what would happen if for some reason, hi. She goes, hi. And she goes, oh, he's right here now. What would happen? Just what would happen if for some reason, see, some of you are believing for something big. Some of you are believing for a job that you've never been able to get and you don't even think you deserve it. But you know that in your heart you're desiring it. You think, ah, I could never get a job like that. Will you talk to the 20 or 30 other people in this room that had felons? They couldn't ever get a job, and now they're the bosses. I mean boss with a B-A-W-S, like boss. Jefe, whatever you want to call it. You talk to them, and you tell them that same story, and they'll look at the eyes and say, you know what, you don't got no faith. Because if I could get this job, you could get that job. What would happen? Just what would happen? Now, some of you got, I'm not going to say who, but and I don't know, I'm just going to say a lot of people. I'm not going to say anybody here. But a lot of people in society have liver disease, hepatitis C. But what would happen if you knew that's going on with you and the doctor says there's really no hope, babe? We're hoping this medicine will work. In your mind, you're saying, but I'm expecting for it to work. I need it to work. I want to live. What would happen if you went to the doctor one day and they said, okay, we're getting ready to do all this business with you now, but before I got to take one more test to make sure, just to make sure that you have this. And then they came out of the doctor. What would happen to your faith level if the doctor came back in there and said, Mr. Martinez, I'm not sure what happened, but we can't find any trace of anything in your body. Do you think that from now on, you might always expect to receive exactly what you pray for if that happened to you? Now, the crazy thing about it is there's so many of you here this morning that have received miracles. Some of you, the devil kicked you out of prison. You were doing a life sentence 30, 40 years. How many in this room you were doing time, and you know what? You knew you deserved more time. You knew they gave you more time, but then all of a sudden the devil kicked you out. Come on, let me see. Now think about that for a minute. You would think, well, God delivered me, but you know what? The devil ain't got no power, but you know what? He can work on somebody and that thing. They get kicked you out because you're a threat. Some of you were in solitary confinement, and you were still a threat. You weren't even in population, but you were a threat. Why? Because just the mere presence of God in your life, it doesn't, no walls or no fences or no. See, when you expect, I don't know how long ago it was, Mark, I think you, if it's okay if I share that, that you came in the home and you had hepatitis C, did you not? Your liver was shot. You were probably going to die younger or possibly have to, right? What happened to you? A what? A what? A miracle? You mean God? I thought miracles were the book of Acts. I thought miracles were for the turn of the century with the great Azusa revival. We still have miracles? You know, I was my granddaughter was asking me, she goes, hey, tell me Pastor Charles' story again. Last night, because we had the little birthday party amongst the ministers and some of the teams. And I told her, and so I go, send me your picture. You know, the one from the morgue. Now, this is a picture like he had laid out on the morgue, on the steel table, on the stainless steel. I go, send me that picture. So I sent it to her, and she goes, oh my God. I go, never forget how important our ministry is. I go, it's because of things like that. I said, we believe in those kind of things. And if I showed you that picture right now, you go, and there are hundreds of people like that. It's not just one or two or three people. Pastor Joe was dead. They laid a sheet over him in El Paso, at El Paso General or whatever hospital they have. They laid a sheet on him and put a tag on his toe. Eight hours later, he took off running. If I was to ask people to get up and testify right here, you'd hear a lot of testimony. The people used to stick a needle in their arm or not drug addicts. They were just corporate bandits. Yeah. Because what's the difference between a corporate bandit or somebody that robbed Circle K? Ain't no difference. Or maybe a suit. That's it. I'm thoughtful. I was talking to this young man just yesterday, and I reminded about when he was dead on a table. He literally, his head was about this size. He had been shot with a .45 caliber, a .45, and sprayed with a 9mm all over his body too. He hit everywhere. 28 shots, 28 bullet holes all over the place. Dead, his cousin came and said, Pastor, please come to the hospital. They shot my head. On the way there to the hospital, I said, wow, he shot in the head? I said, what's the matter? Said, yeah, he's in a coma. Got tubes everywhere. So me and Pastor Dre walked in the room, and I think to myself, when you walk in the room like that and you see this right here, how can you pray knowing that the head is like that and that the bullet holes in the head? How do you pray? Nothing to do with me, but how does a man pray? If God calls you to go, how are you going to pray and say, oh my God, last rites? Or do you look down and say, I've been ministering to this kid in the neighborhood for a minute now, and he hasn't been listening. He's been hard-headed and theatrical, but here he is laying on the deathbed. Do I say, well, Lord, please, hopefully, some kind of mercy you can give him and take him home? Or do you walk and put your hands on him and say, I don't care if there's a bullet in your head. I don't care if he looks dead, if the doctor said he's going to be a vegetable the rest of his life. I could care less. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that kid's leg started to shake. And his auntie was at the foot of the bed. I go, would you mind if I prayed for him? Real nice. Can I pray for him? She goes, yes. She's at the foot of the bed, just stroking his leg, like saying her last goodbyes. And his leg starts going like this, and he starts moving around, and she goes, what are you doing to him? I said, raising him from the dead. I don't know. This has never happened to me before. I've seen a lot of healings, but I've never seen this. So she ran out frantic and came, went and got the doctors and the lawyers that came, the doctors and the nurses, they came and they looked at him like that, and he's right there. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And why? Because the God we serve is the kind of God that needs us to engage in our faith. We have to engage in our faith. And I'm thoughtful about the other night. Sister Barb, Mark, and myself, we were at the Frontier, you know, favorite hangout. The Frontier, wanted to go have some food after a service, something. We were just hanging out, and we were there. And one of the guys that works here, he came up to me and he says, "Hey, how you doing, Pastor?" I go, "Good, good." We started talking a little bit, and I was telling Mark, I said, "This guy right here," I said, "about 2 weeks ago for our summit, right before the summit." I don't know what happened, but financially, things were crazy in the church. Just, we didn't have enough finances coming in for some reason. That's 2 weeks. Just for some reason, things were just a little bit tight, and the office was like a little tight. I could tell when I walk in, everything's going, hey, how's everybody doing? You know, and everybody's fine. But I could also walk in and say, this doesn't add up, you know. How are we going to pay this? And so I was just kind of walking through there, and I was like, I got a little stress for a minute. I go, wait, I'm not going to carry that stress. I'm believing God. I expect God to provide, right? So we're not thinking about it. So anyway, the night of the Thursday night that we had the summit, we walk into Frontier, a bunch of us. We walk into Frontier. It's late, open late, so we're there hanging out, chilling, man, going, just having a blast and laughing. The pastors are there, and Pastor Renee from Las Cruces, just he loves to laugh. And we're just, everybody's just chilling. And then that guy that works there, he walked up to me and he goes, Pastor, he goes, I have a seed to sow in the church. And I go, okay. And he's done this before. He's done it before. I got a seed to sow. When he first heard we had a building, he goes, I heard you guys got a building. I go, yeah. He goes, hold on a second. He's been working there 30-some years. Walked away, his little hat, comes back, goes, here. I remember he gave me $400. He goes, put this in the building fund. I go, wow. My granddaughter looked at him. She goes, he can't give that much money. He's a busboy. I go, he can't. I go, he just did. And then later on, I told her about the fruit that happened, the miracles that happened for him. Anyway, make a long story a little longer. He just kind of like, so that night, on Thursday night, everybody was ordering their food, and I went to go sit down. I'm by myself, and he comes up to me and goes, here. And he gives me 3 envelopes. He goes, here, I've been saving this. I want to sow a seed in the ministry. And let me tell you what, the reason I sow the seed is because you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what you guys preach. So here, he goes, now, I don't know, I don't count very good. He goes, so if it's short, it's supposed to be $1,000, but short, let me know. And I'm like, I'm not going to let you know if it's short. Thank you. I go, so as soon as the girls got, they go, here, take these envelopes. There's 3 of them. They're a bunch of ones and fives and tens, I guess. I don't even know. I didn't look at it, but they told me it was a lot of different bills. I guess he'd been saving his tips. So I gave it to him, and I said, wow. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute. Just yesterday, we were believing. I said, Lord, I call in finances from the north, the south, east, and the west. I expect to be provided for. I have no doubt in my mind. And then that happens. And so then I go, okay, no problem. Can you sell a few more cattle, Lord? You know, the Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All we need him to do is sell a couple more cattle. That's it. Anyway, the next couple, 2 weeks later, Mark, myself, Sister Barbara there, and he says like this, he goes, hey, Pastor, how you doing? I go, hey, how you doing, man? Bless you, brother. Bless you, I told him like that, man, more than you know. And he's like, he goes, hey, was it short? And I go, I looked at Mark, I'm not going to tell him if it's short. And I go, is it short? I go, yeah, it was $13 short. He goes, okay. I go, but bro, don't worry about that. I said, I'll put the $13, man. He goes, okay. Comes back a little bit later with an envelope. He goes, here. And it was $113. He goes, let me sow another seed. Now, why do we share that stuff? This is a man of faith. It's a man who doesn't make a whole lot of money. But he told me, he says, you know, the reason I give like that is because how can you outgive God? And he says it with such a pure heart, how can you outgive God? He goes, think about this, Pastor. And we begin to talk a little bit. And he's just preaching to me and Mark. And Sister Barbara, just preaching. And me and Mark are like, I mean, this guy is just preaching at us, man, preaching to us. I talk about faith. And he starts talking to us. And he says this. He goes, look, you remember the story? He goes, remember the story of Lazarus? He goes, remember how he died? He goes, he died and how the sisters were bummed out. And they made a statement. It's in John chapter 11. He said, remember how he gave me this statement? He goes, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And so he's telling us this like that. He goes, have you ever thought about this, Pastor? He's looking at Mark 2 and Mark. He goes, have you ever thought about this? How when Jesus doesn't have a timeline, there's no timeline that Jesus has. He says, Jesus, for some reason, somehow, He deliberately doesn't go and lets Lazarus die. He deliberately does it. He puts it on hold. He's dying. Well, okay. We'll have to hold. But if you look at what he said to his disciples, he says, there's a reason for this. Yeah, he's going to die. We're going to raise him up. See, a seed must die in order for it to grow. This past year, I had an abundance of apricots, man. I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. My trees were like this. So the guys came over to help clean up and stuff like that. And I said, guys, I already got a bunch of seeds. But see all those seeds? Please put them in a bucket for me. Don't, because if I ever move from here, I need to grow another tree. And I need some seeds. I know they look dead. They're all bone dry. They're in the dirt. They look dead. But put them in the bucket because all I got to do is plant one. And there's an anointing on that seed. That seed has an anointing that in my faith of and my action of just getting it and put it in the ground and watering it, then God's law of harvest comes into play, found in Genesis chapter 8, that says, whatever you sow, you'll reap. See, when it comes to faith, if your faith is lacking this morning, I shared some of these things this morning to build your faith a little bit. Just to build it up just a little more. Because some of you got good faith. But sometimes you have to get out a little further. Because faith is more than just believing. Faith is seeing. And a lot of times all we do is believe. But we don't see. So then if we don't see, we believe. But we don't see, then we don't declare. And we don't declare it. And God has said, I want you to start to declare what you're believing for now. First you see it, then you declare it, then you see it come to pass. That takes stepping out in faith. Stepping out a little further. That means it's a little risky sometimes when you walk into a hospital room and somebody's sick like that and you lay hands on them. It's a little risky to your character, maybe say, oh, we prayed but nothing happened. I want you to know something. Some plant, some water, but he's the one who gets the increase. I don't know if you've seen Billy Graham's final box. His casket. But it's a simple wooden cross. Simple. You would think it would have this elaborate colors and gold and silver and shiny. It's a simple box with a cross on it. One of his favorite scriptures is, you know what? Not to boast in what I do, but to boast in the Lord. Even in his death, humility. See, here in the story, Jesus purposefully and deliberately didn't go see Lazarus and he dies. So his sister says, you know what? If you wouldn't have waited. Jesus never waits. He's always on time. I love when he responded to them when they said, if you would have been here, he says, you know what? I'm the resurrection. Because I know he'll rise. He's going to rise up. I know he'll rise in the last day when everybody rises. No, no, you don't get it. You believe it, but you don't see it. I am the resurrection of the life, he said. He who believes in me will never die. You see what this brother at the frontier was telling us, he's looking at me and Mark in the eyes and Barb, and he knows we're preachers, all of us. He says, think about this. He says, there's no timeline in Jesus. So Jesus is over here and Lazarus is dying, but there is no time. Jesus doesn't operate on time like we do. We heard a teaching in Bible school years ago about how the beginning of time is here and the end of time is here, and we all are staying on the line right here, but Jesus is outside of that line, so he sees this, and this. That's why Jesus was able to say, listen, today, on the guy, the thief on the cross, today you will be in paradise with me. Because remember, the end is still not to way over here. This is 2,000 some years ago, but Jesus says, today you will be, because Jesus looks at all of time as today. So this guy's telling us there's no timeline. So Jesus knew that it didn't matter if he was dead because he's going to raise him from the dead. It doesn't matter because there's no time. And this is what he said. This is the word. And it stuck to me. I went home and wrote it down immediately. He said, Pastor, he looks at Mark and Barb. He goes, Jesus can bring the future to your now. And I looked at Mark, looked at Barb. I go, Mark goes, that's heavy, man. I go, that's heavy. Jesus can get your future and bring it to your now. You know how you do that? When you sow a seed, when you sow a seed, you're saying, this seed, this is heavy, man, this seed is my future. So I'm bringing my future to my now by putting it in the ground and watering it and knowing that my future is, it belongs to me. Why? Because whatever I sow, I will reap. See, a lot of people don't have expectation that Jesus will do something for them. But God is about. This is the season of expectation. God gave us a word in the early part of this year, in that last part of last year, that we are to walk in expectation in the year of 2018. That this is the year of expectation. Some people probably counted you out, Parky. You're in that bed or that hospital bed over there. But yet here you are. People probably went, oh, put it here. This might be the last time. But here you are. There's a bunch of you right here. I know some of your stories. I'm like, the devil tries to speak some stuff to us, man. Think about it. I would think about 10 years ago, be right before you got a hold of God. 15 years ago when the devil said, you're done. How many of you have been to court and the judge looks at you and looks at this director with a secondhand store suit and a donated tie and donated shoes? And looks at him and says, I don't know why I'm going to do that, but I'm going to give you to Mr. What's your name again? I'm the director of the home. You're going with that guy. Facing 50 years in prison. You know why? Because your grandma's been sowing seed. Pastor's preaching a message like this. Everybody else is all uptight about it. Oh, he's preaching about giving. And the little grandma's like, with her last little mite. Pulls it out. And then 4 months later, she's back sitting right back over there on the side right there looking at her grandson. Nothing's going to stop my praise. What do you think that does? When you sow a seed, you bring your future into your now. I wish I could get some help up in this place, man. But in order to do that, you first got to plant a seed. Isaiah 30 and verse 23 in the New King James Version says, then he will give the rain for your seed with which you sow the ground and the bread of increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful. I love the Message Version. It says, God will provide rain for the seeds you sow. The grain that grows will be abundant. See, it is the soil where you sow that determines the outcome of the seed. This is good soil right here. Come on, man, I'm preaching some stuff right here. You ought to be out of your seat right now. If somebody needs a miracle in this place, if you need a miracle this morning, if you are in need of something big in your life, let me tell you something this morning. I've been in prayer all week, last night, this morning, and the Lord just keeps on telling me over. You shout it out. You declare to the people of Victory Outreach Albuquerque that their time is coming, that time is coming. Their miracle is on the way. Their increase is about to pop into their lives. Listen, let them know that job is coming. Let them know that first home that you're going to buy is coming. Let them know the debt you owe is about to go away. Let them know that you're about to see your healing. It's the soil where you sow your seed. It's a soil. You see, the seed is already anointed. It already has a law of harvest upon it. Every seed already has what it needs. All it needs is a sower. It has everything it will ever need to produce what God said it's always going to produce until the end of time. Always. All it needs is somebody to pick it up in their hand and with faith, not just believe, see it go in the ground, cover it up, put some water on it, and just sit back and say, do what you do. I think about all the seeds my sister Barbara and I have sown in all kinds of different ways. And I think about how God has always been faithful. We've never sown a seed to get something. We've always sown a seed out of a need. And when you sow your seed out of your need, think about this. Your harvest, listen, you got to listen, you got to get this. Hope to put this on the screen. I think I put it in the notes. Your harvest in the future will always start with the seed you have in your hand today. And I try to sow something every day. Every single day I try to sow something. If it's not money, it's time, wisdom. See, you have to position yourself this morning, this year. You have to position yourself for what God wants to bring you. And when you position yourself, you put yourself into a state of expectation, saying, Lord, I'm in the position, I've sowed seed, I'm in the position now to receive everything you desire to give me. Are you ready for that? What would happen? I'm going to ask a question again. Don't make me get out there. I'll go stand next to you. What would happen if you got your miracle? Some of you are here believing for your spouse to forgive you once and for all and start and get a restart. Watch what God does. Some of you just want a brand new start, man. You're tired of giving up. Now, what hinders people from sowing? Number one, unbelief. That's the first thing that stops you. Unbelief. I don't believe this guy. He's staging that stuff. That don't really happen. Talk to them. Fear is another thing. If I do that, what will happen? You know, it blows my mind how people are fearful of sowing in church, but you get online to Amazon. You're an Amazon Prime candidate thing. And you don't even know what you're getting. You just send it, go, boop, I'll get it in 2 days. For free. You get it. It's from China. In a bag. You open it up. And you say, I know why I got this. Because I, by faith, clicked a button on the computer. And I didn't have a problem calling China to buy a sweater that was $2. Everybody does it. That's why, you know, Music Mart, Pastor Charles. I read the paper yesterday. Music Mart. You probably buy, how many tapes you buy? You're probably one of their biggest, both of you, probably one of their big, buy all kinds of music tapes from them and tracks, music tracks. I used to buy tracks over there. You ever go there? Music Mart, close their doors. Their doors are closing. Think to myself, all the seed they sowed in this city. They sowed it into my life. Now you know why they do that? Because people just buy it online. So we live in the age of online, and you don't even know what you're getting. You're just buying it. You just buy it by faith. You don't know who you're buying it from. Yet, sometimes, right before our very eyes, where we see the hand of God moving, we see the miracle power of God, we see what God wants to do right in our front of our face, and we can't believe for that. Another reason why people will abstain from sowing or giving is because of greed. Or even selfishness. And then lastly, the lack of teaching. You know, when pastors preach, like when I'm preaching right here, they get I don't preach like this very often. I preach about souls most of the time. You know that. I'm a gospel preacher that talks about winning people to the Lord. Every altar call. I never preach a message without calling an altar call. I don't care where I'm at. Funerals. They teach you in the cemetery, the seminary schools, not to call, make it evangelistic at the funerals. Well, we're totally disobedient to that. Because every funeral we go to, we offer salvation because there's people that are hurting. Funerals are not for the dead. Funerals are for the living, for those who remain back. So we figure we better get them living so when they go, when they get put in a box. So the lack of right teaching. A lot of pastors are afraid to teach like this. They're afraid to speak on these kind of things. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because they don't believe it either. See, on the contrary, Sister Barbara and I believe it. Our pastoral staff believe it. We're the biggest givers. We give. We sow. We invest in the kingdom of God. We invest in people. Why? Because we don't just believe. We see. And these things can be distracting to you. Now, when it comes to sowing and giving, the Lord's standard for giving is not how much we give, not how much we sow, but how much we hold back for ourselves. So, well, here you go. Are you a kingdom builder or a self builder? Somebody, I remember this is an old, you probably heard it, but this is an old definition. It's called cirrhosis of the giver. And it's an acute condition which renders the patient's hand immovable when he or she is called upon to move it in the direction from their wallet to the offering basket. See, giving your seed and your finances, your time, your talent, it's an expression of your Christian character. And as an act of necessity and blessing that is commanded in the Bible. He says, you reap what you sow. We always look at that as sin. Oh, you reap what you sow, brother. You re-sowed it, now you're going to reap it. But have you ever turned around the law of harvest and said, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you're sowing in righteousness, then you're going to reap in righteousness. If you're sowing in goodness, you're going to reap in goodness. If you're sowing in love, you're going to receive love. Listen, I heard a new prison just opened up in Santa Rosa. We've been closed there for years. Pastor Joe called me. I got some good news. I thought he was going to say, somebody paid my house off. But he was more excited about telling you, Pastor. The chaplain said, we got the second Saturday in Santa Rosa. And I was like, look at what turns him on. That ought to be enough not to question. What is the price? Increase comes with a price. Growing an orchard comes with a price. What's the price? Watering it every day. Weeding it. Making sure you take the branches off. We need to bring them at the beginning of the year. All those things. It's a price to be paid. It takes time. But oh, when you walk out on that one day in July or August, and you pick one of those apples, or you pick some cherries, or you pick some grapes, or you pick some apricots, or some peaches, or nectarines, and you pull them up the tree, and you go wash them in the sink, and you break into one. And you say, oh, look at how good this tastes. Oh, I'm talking to you this morning. I'm preaching this morning. If somebody would get a hold of this, your life would be a lot better, man. If somebody got a hold of this, you'd start to see and not just believe. Let me land this. It takes faith, strong faith. That's the price it takes. And sometimes trials. There's been times when Sister Barbara and I sowed a seed and we didn't see any kind of income or any kind of increase or any kind of anything happen at all with the seed we sowed. We said, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, one day, everybody say one day real loud. One day, man. Something like Barb looks at me like yesterday. Day before yesterday, we were in Raton. We're there sitting with Brody and his mama and his sister. And we're all sitting right there. And, you know, they just lost their father. So we're there to comfort them and pray with them. We're on our way back from Pueblo as well. Pueblo Pastor Tom's mama passed away, our elder, and we were there with them as well. So we were able to do two things in one day. We were there with them just ministering. And all of a sudden, Cassie, his sister, goes, oh, I just got a revelation. We go, what? She goes, last year, I didn't even have the money. Because he's healed. In fact, he's so healed that he could never grow a mustache to connect right here. He's got the whole thing right now. He's like a different person. He's got a brocha now. I know he's been like, you know, after you, Mark, you know what I mean? Trying to grow it. You guys make fun of him because he can't grow it in the middle and all stuff like that. But also, not only that, but his whole eyebrow, when he had to cut it right here, he goes, I got all this hair, he goes, And I looked at him. I go, you look different, homie. I go, you look so different. And he goes, you know what? He goes, I used to have O positive blood. He goes, I now have positive A. I mean, I have A, type A. I go, what do you mean? He goes, all the transfusions. He goes, oh, it's gone. In other words, the old Brody's gone. So Cassie goes, I just got a revelation last year at this time. She goes, I remember I didn't have much, but I sowed a seed, a resurrection seed, on behalf of my brother's life. And she looked at him and goes, and here you are, healed. See, it's when you trust God through the trials. And I've sowed seeds sometimes and nothing happened. I remember back in the day when we were sowing seeds for our land, trying to build a building and trying to find a building. For a long time, people were really excited, but the excitement wears off when you don't see it coming to pass. Well, I sowed a seed. What happened? We don't got a building. And now we're in a high school? And now we're in a community center? Oh, my God. I've seen it. People left our church during that time because they sowed, but they didn't see anything. Everybody say, but one day. And that's all I'm going to say. You read in the rest of the part of that message. One day they walked through the doors of this place and said, this belongs to Victor Wright. Said, yeah, we have a mortgage. You want to help us pay it? You see, everything that is connected to God grows. Increase flows from God, not from man. He's our creator. He created the seed. He created the water. He created the sun to build that so it'll grow. Huh? Psalms 115, verse 12 and through 16 says, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more and you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Who created heaven and earth. You see, the ingredient for growth or increase is part of your spiritual DNA. The moment you get grafted into the vine, that moment right there, you always had it, but the moment you get grafted in the vine, all of a sudden it should click in you and say, wait a minute. I've always had this inside of me because I'm made of spirit, soul, and body. My spirit has always longed to be connected to God, and everything that's connected to God grows. But my soul's been in charge. My body's been in charge, and that's why I'm in the problems I'm in, because my mind and my body have been telling where my spirit were to go. But from now on, my spirit is going to tell my body and my mind where it's got to go. According to John chapter 15 and verse 15, it says, Jesus said, I have ordained you to bring forth fruits. And in Matthew, I don't have time, I'm going to land this. In Matthew chapter 13, it talks about the mustard seed, about how the mustard seed, the small thing grows into such a big tree. A tree good enough for birds to nest in it and to find shade in it. What do you need your seed to grow into? I know you're not going to sow a seed ever for out of selfish reasons. It's always going to be out of a need, of a desperate need. You might have a disease. You might have a need in your marriage. You may need a job. And that's not selfish to sow seed like that. You know what's selfish is not to sow the seed. Because when you get a good job, your kids get blessed. When you get healed, people believe. And your family gets to keep you longer. Come on, somebody. How many need a miracle in this place this morning? Here in the Matthew, the mustard seed was an expression that Jesus was trying to give to everybody and to us here, not just the disciples, but to us, to signify something small or of little significance. But oh, it don't matter how small it may look. It's the smallest of seeds, but it grows into the biggest of trees. Think about Gideon. He didn't need to fight 100,000 people. He just needed 300. Think about Jesus. When there was 5,000 people to feed, he just needed a couple of fish and a couple of loaves. He didn't need a whole lot. He just needed a little bit of faith. That little boy brought a little bit of faith with him. Jesus brought the future to the now. How many of you want to bring your future to your now? We are living members of God's kingdom here on earth. We are living, man. We're in the midst of things. We're seeing it before our very eyes. And I want you to know something here. That God, when he raised up Adam and he blew life into him, breathed life into him, he said, tend this garden. Tend it. God has always used man to tend things. And when he uses to tend things, that means he's called us as a steward, a manager over stuff, over things. The other day, I was thoughtful about how much we've sowed into the city. How much finances, with all the crusades and all the, every week, like we're getting ready to sow into the, at Roosevelt Park with the egg hunt. Last year we had, 1,800 people showed up. Probably have 2,000 this year. How many souls have we really had the opportunity to minister to and speak the gospel of Jesus Christ to them for all the past 32 years of our church, just our church here, our small church? I was thinking about all the seed we've sown. We need to realize that there's always a harvest connected to our seed. The each one reach one, that's a seed sown of prayer, investment, maybe inviting him to go eat for lunch at work and say, hey, come to church with me on Easter, man. Oh, I can't. We're going to Elephant Butte on Easter. Okay, well, come with me on Palm Sunday then. Okay, I can do that. Because you know, it don't matter what church service they come to. They're always going to have an altar call for salvation, rededication. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when. Easter is just another day on the calendar, but it's not just another day on the calendar. It's a day where most people go to church. Most people only go to church on Christmas and Easter. So we're asking you, your coworkers, your family, they're hurting. They're lost. Last week, if you came last week, I said, our city's like a broken down city. It's a city like a baby, like an abused little baby that needs attention. And our church needs to be like a stepmom, a stepdad, pull it up and say, you know what, mijito, never again, not on our watch. I got you. Nobody will ever hit you like this again. Nobody will ever touch you like that. Nobody will ever hurt you on my watch. Do we have to have that kind of compassion for our city? If we don't have that kind of compassion for our city, what are we doing? We're being selfish. It's about us. So each one reach one. Amen? Let me close with this. I believe with all my heart that in the years we've been doing the resurrection seed, we have seen hundreds upon hundreds of miracles. People have been healed. People's marriages have got back together. People have reconciled with those that had unforgiveness with. People have had their lives turned around. And it was all because they sowed a seed. They said, I'm tired of feeling like I feel. I'm tired of always being in want. When am I ever going to get a breakthrough in my business or my company or my job, get a job where I can get enough to see some daylight? And I have seen people come to me and say, Pastor, I sowed a seed of $153 on 10 years ago. For 2 or 3 years, I still couldn't get a job. But I want you to know, I landed this job that I love. My boss loves me. And I get paid twice as much as I ever got paid. And I want you to know, Pastor, I got my miracle. I've heard those testimonies through the years, and I said to myself, should I pick up a resurrection seed offering this year? And I look back and I said to myself, if I don't do this, I would be doing a disservice to you and to the kingdom of God. Because when we do a resurrection seed on Easter Sunday morning, that's what we're doing. Today, our ushers have this little card right here. It says, the miracle of the resurrection seed. And on Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday morning, we're asking everybody in this house to sow a seed on Easter. You can do it today if you want. I know some of you might be moved spiritually. Don't be emotional. Oftentimes an emotional pledge doesn't follow its way all the way through to the end. So don't be emotional. Let the Spirit connect to you. But we would like to ask everybody in our church, everybody. Yesterday I met with the leaders. And as I met with the leaders yesterday, I asked all the leaders to sow $153. $153 because of this. When Jesus appeared to the disciples, he came to them and he said, listen, he goes, what are you guys doing? He says, we're fishing. Have you caught anything? No. He goes, cast your nets on the right-hand side. And they looked at him and says, man, we're professional fishermen. We've been fishing all night. There ain't no fish over here. But because he was Jesus, he said, okay, well, nevertheless. So they did that, and they caught a big old net full of fish, and the net didn't tear. There was a total of 153 fish in there. I'm telling you right now, cast your nets on the right side of your boat this year. God wants to get the thing that you need most. The thing that you need most. It's not out of selfishness, but the thing you need most, he wants to provide it for you. It just takes a small seed. So I asked our leaders, everybody in our leadership, to sow $153 or more. And they all, okay. We're asking our congregation this morning. They said, Pastor, I connect with you on this. I have a big need. I have a big need. I want to see increase in my life. I have a big need. I want to see my son saved. He may be in a prison cell, but you can see him saved. How many of you here have been saved in prison? But he could be out in the run. God could save him, her. You might be saying, I need to sow a seed for my husband. I can't get him to church. I need to sow a seed for my wife. I can't. Man, some of you might be saying, I need a wife. But I keep on making the same mistake over and over. I'm not going to do that no more. So I'm going to sow a seed. I knew that would get some of you. Think about it. We do all kinds of things, but we don't know how to focus. Understand what the seed does. The seed, it's so important to seed properly. When I plant a garden or trees, I sow properly. I fertilize properly. I do it right because I want it to what? I want it to produce what it's supposed to produce. So if you sow in righteousness, if you sow properly, then you'll reap and properly. Now, seeding is the planting of what you want to receive. How does God bring that to you? Think about how he brings it to you. When you give a seed offering, there are some key principles, real quickly. Obviously, in the fall, you don't plant outside here. That's when you clean stuff up. But if you know this, if you want corn, you have to plant corn. If you want wheat, you have to plant wheat. If you want apricots, then you got to plant apricot seeds. So to give first, there has to be a purpose for your giving. Why am I doing this? Am I doing this because Pastor Danny shared a few miracles? Am I doing this because Pastor Danny shared a few scriptures? No, you're doing this because you want to connect yourself to what grows, and that's God. And this is the good soil for you to sow that thing on Easter Sunday morning. You have to say, I'm seeding this in declaration. I expect to receive a harvest for what I'm sowing. When you seed, you need to do it with real faith. Not belief, but seeing. You have to call your future to your now. Here's the card. I'm not going to labor anymore. Here's the card. You see the empty tomb right there? It says the miracle of the resurrection seed. And look, read it with me. It says, expect your healing. Expect your spiritual breakthrough. Expect your financial breakthrough. Expect your family's salvation. Expect your healing. Expect your salvation. Expect your deliverance. Some of you have been trying to get out of smoking cigarettes forever, all of your life. Some of you have been trying to quit fighting your marriage. You can't seem to get it. I'll tell you something right now. I don't know why you need to sow, but the moment you start sowing where you need to sow, you're going to start reaping where you need to reap at. Somebody's got to get a hold of this. Your faith has to come to a point of more than just belief. So I'm going to ask our ushers to take their place real quick. Just our ushers. I'm not picking up a special offering. So don't say, oh, it's about money. It has nothing to do with money. You might want to sow a house. You might say, do we need another house in our ministry, Pastor? Yeah. I don't know. But this is not even about today. This is about Easter Sunday. Make sure you get one of those on the way up, guys. Ushers. Yeah, make sure you give all them up there. Send an usher that way, Gary. Top up here. I want everybody on this. How long ago were you in the home, brother? 2008. You're part of Dave's fruit, huh? Woo! Dave took you to what?
We've been to court. Dave. Yeah, Dave
Burris. Dave, man. Dave. I miss Dave, man. The judge. What?
Judge told me, he said, I'm going to release you to him. You go ahead and go with him to the home, but you stay in the home.
So you still want to see? Here. I want you to take the card in your hand. I think everybody should sow a seed. You can sow whatever you want. You can sow $8 if you want. But I started off with 50, 75, 100, 118 for the year of 2018, and 153. That's what we're all our leadership is sowing 153. That's the bare minimum for our leadership. Our leadership, we're going to do it. We're going to believe for big things. I said, we're going to believe. How do you think we got this building? We sowed for this building. How do you think that I got saved? My parents, my wife, my daughters, they sowed for my deliverance and my salvation. They sowed and they sowed and they sowed, and through trials and tribulations and through me being worse and worse, one day, everybody sat one day. One day, man, I came to the foot of the cross and said yes to Jesus Christ. Take this card. It says, as I sow my resurrection seed on behalf of my biggest need on Easter Sunday, April 1st, I'm expecting my miracle in 2018. I pledge to sow a resurrection seed of. Put it on there. Put your email, your address, your phone number, all that stuff like that, so we can email you some information on that. And you take that card. Everybody take that card in your hand. Fill it out first. If you need pens, ask the ushers. They have pens. Somebody got a pen on your roll. On Easter Sunday morning, we are going to bring, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be praying for souls. We're going to be doing outreach. I'm telling you, we're going to have 2,000 people at the park. This place is going to be packed out on Easter Sunday morning, beyond packed out. Some people are going to have to stand up. It's going to be amazing. Amazing weekend. But the thing that's going to happen that's going to be amazing is that you're going to release out of your hand. Because Pastor Sonny taught me this a long time ago. Danny, live with an open hand. Keep your hand open. Don't clench your fist. So with an open hand, as you sow this seed, you are going to see the miracle power of the resurrection seed hit you and your family. Man, I'm telling you, Easter Sunday morning is more than just another holiday, more than just a holiday service. It's more than just an Easter service. It's Resurrection Sunday, where a seed had to die and go into the tomb, into the ground. And 3 days later, that seed broke open and raised from the dead. And I want you to know that's the power of the resurrection seed, is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As you take that card and you fill it out, I want you to begin, if you've already filled it out, begin to lift it up and begin to wave it, because I'm going to get ready to pray right now. And then we're going close. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, let's go back to that song. Can you guys do He Made a Way? If you could do that, let's do that one. He Made a Way. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your resurrection seed card. Lift it up high. Come on, if you don't got one, you're missing out, man. Get you one. Call an usher over and say, give me one of those things, man. Give me one of those. Get that resurrection seed card. I really believe with all my heart that God is calling you to connect with Him like never before. And this is one of the ways you're going to do that. We've been praying a lot. Fasting. It's a month of praying and fasting. But one of the ways is connecting to God is also by sowing your seed. Sow it. Our Father sowed His Son. And look what came out. See, Jesus called the future into the now. He said, I don't gotta hurry down to Lazarus. And he just moseyed along down there. And when he got there, the Bible says he was emotional. The Bible says he even wept because of his friend. But when he said those words, Lazarus, come forth. And after 4 days of being buried in that tomb, Lazarus walked out of that tomb. It's like some of you were 4 years or 30 years wrapped up in a tomb somewhere, all messed up, dead in your sins. And one day Jesus came along and said, Danny, come forth out of that tomb. Somebody's been sowing and praying and crying and broken and interceding for you for the last 10 years. It's time for you. I'm sure my wife for many years said, Lord, if you would have saved him, I wouldn't have to go through the pain I go through. If you would have raised him from the dead, then we wouldn't have to do this. But, oh, everybody say one day. One day. One day. Come on, lift up those resurrection seed cards. Lift them. Come on, honey. Come on up here, baby. Come up here. I want you to help me pray. Lift them. Oh, he made a way. Ooh. Yes.
He made a way.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
You made a way.
When our backs were up against the wall, come on, say it, sing it, sing it, sing it.
When our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over,
you made a way. Oh, yes, you did. Hallelujah.
Only because you made a way.
Come on, lift up those res cards. Come on, resurrection seed. Come on. Honey, I want you to pray. Hallelujah. Let's pray over our seed. Come on, lift up those seeds.
Come on, this is serious business with God right now.
Hallelujah.
He sees your faith. He knows where you're at. He sees the need you're praying for. This is the gospel in action. Oh, Rabasitio. Come on, pray in tongues right now. Come on, begin to intercede in tongues right now. We're a Holy Ghost filled church, and we're going to believe God right now. Kirio Robositia. I rebuke a belief in the name of Jesus. Father, for those that are lacking in faith, God, resurrect their faith this morning, God. It's the power of your word, Father God. It will not return unto you void, Father, but it sets out to do everything, Father God, that you've called it to do. And Father, your people are believing. We are believing for miracles, God. Oh, we're in travail for our families, God. We're in travail for the lost, God. We're in travail this morning, Father, for those that need a miracle in this place, God. And we will not hold back our faith, oh God. But this morning we sow by faith, Father God, believing, Father God, that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can even hope or ask for, God. You are the miracle working God, Lord. There is nothing impossible for you, Father. We see it with our eyes, God. Let us believe it in our hearts, God.
Yes.
That you are able, Father. Come on, tell him you are
able, Father.
You are able, Father.
Now I want you to bring your card.
You make a way,
don't
God.
Drop it off. Just bring it and hold it in your hand. Come. Oh, bring it to the altar. Lift it up before the Lord and say, here, God.